Good evening. Please go ahead and put your phone on silent or turn it off. I promise you the Almighty is not going to be calling you. He doesn't communicate that way. Please be praying for, there was one more prayer request, for a young man named Alan. He's a friend of the granddaughters of Joe and Jackie Moten. He sustained first and second degree burns in a car accident. So please, I'll be praying for Alan. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9. How are we doing? I hope you're all looking forward to Sunday. I want to encourage you to get up early, earlier than usual. So, because we will start church at 10 o'clock. And I like for us to be inside the auditorium, checking our kids, ready to go at 10 o'clock. Amen? Amen. Let's spend tomorrow and Saturday following up on our friends. And let's continue to pray that God will glorify himself on Sunday morning. On Sunday, we took a close look at Jacob's life very quickly, and I know I zipped through, you know, the sermon, and again, I encourage you to go back and listen to it, or you go to the SEC website and listen to the whole thing. But I remember making 4 points on Sunday. The first one is accept your fate, which was what Joseph did. The second point was choose your reaction in terms of the way he reacted through all the different trials he went through. I talked about the third point I made was forgiveness is not an option. That a lot of times when we go through stuff, you know, we can get bitter, we can get angry, and we can hold grudges. And if you're that kind of a person, you're going to be very miserable in life because things are going to happen to you. Things are going to happen to me. Life happens. And we got to learn to forgive as things come up, because if you don't forgive, God says he's not going to forgive you also. And then finally, I made the point about staying the course. That, you know what, you got to hang in there no matter what happens. And one day it's all going to be worth it. One day when you and I look back, we're going to understand some of the things God was trying to do. But tonight, I want to go back and develop that first point some more. Because Joseph never got stuck. And he accepted what came to him. And so tonight I want to continue on that point. In John chapter 9, and this is where I want us to start tonight, beginning in verse 1, it simply says, as he went along, he saw a man born blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Amen. Jesus says, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Remember, we're reading about a man, the Bible says, he was born blind. He could never see. Right from birth, he couldn't see. And on this particular day, Jesus shows up. And the rest of the story talks about how he heals him. Okay? Now, if this man hadn't been born blind, guess what? Jesus could not have performed this miracle. It goes without saying. And so tonight, I want to talk about God's power displayed. You know, God displays his power through so many different things. We see his power in nature. When you look around and you see trees, and you see leaves, right now, you know, the pollen has finally arrived. And I don't know about you, I don't like it. Yellow is a pretty color, but yellow doesn't look nice on a car outside. We see the change of seasons. We see God's power. One of the primary ways in which God displays his power is through different things that happen to you and me. And that power we don't like to think about. But that's what I want us to talk about tonight. It says here that, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Here was a situation for God to display his power. If you and I had no problems, if you and I had no challenges, guess what? God wouldn't be able to display his power. You got to look at that side of things. Because I think what happens to us a lot of times is when we're going through stuff, it never occurs to us that, you know what, God is trying to do something mighty through this situation. When you're going through it, just like when Joseph was going through those things, he didn't see it. He couldn't. But you see, through every challenge that you and I face, God displays his power. I mean, think about Joseph again. You know the story. We talked about it briefly on Sunday. And I'm sure you've studied that. If you haven't, it's a very fascinating study. You go do it. You'll get a lot out of it. He was sold as a slave. He ended up in Potiphar's house. A little household. And he started running that household. And I'm sure he learned some things through that whole situation. How did he end up in prison? He was falsely accused. And then he got into prison. The Bible says again, God was with him. Before you know it, he's running the prison. Something much bigger than Potiphar's household. And later on, again, you know the story. God was preparing him to run the entire country. You see the progression. The same thing, brothers and sisters, is true with every challenge you face, with every challenge I face. It's like, you know, you remember how it is when you were in college? And, you know, when you were a freshman? I remember going to register and being told, okay, you got to register for accounting 101, economics 101, English 101. And then I figured out very quickly, oh, the 101, those are the guys at the bottom. That's me. That's us. Okay, when you get to the junior year, your sophomore year, the second year, it becomes 201. Then your junior year, the courses become 301. I said, oh, okay, I get it. There's a reason why you got to take accounting 101 before you take accounting 301. Because there's no way you're going to understand what's going on in accounting 301 if you've not done accounting 101. Are you with me? The same thing is true, spiritually speaking. That God will not allow you to go through something that you're not prepared for, that you cannot handle. And so I submit to you that every challenge you face at every point in your life, every challenge I face and I'm facing, God is preparing me for something much bigger. And we got to accept it. Because guess what? If you flunk accounting 101, you are not going to do accounting 102. It's not happening. You know, I know the educational system in America is a little bit different. I grew up under the British system, and believe it or not, they didn't promote you based on your age. At the end of every term, we took a test. At the end of every school year, you took a test that meant whether you were going to graduate to the next level. If you didn't, guess what? You would repeat. You would repeat that class. They would hold you back, literally. And all your friends will move ahead. It was not a good thing. Because if you repeated, all of a sudden, all these guys that were 1 year behind you, now they're sitting in the same classroom, and they're actually making fun of you. They call you repete, that is, you know, you're repeating the class. All of a sudden, you see a guy with a busted nose. What happened? Well, somebody called him repete, and the guy knocked him out. It wasn't funny. But they would hold you back. until you passed that class before you went on to the next level. That was just the way we grew up. And it's still the same right now. But you see, the same thing is true, spiritually speaking. When we face challenges, when we face different things in our lives, guess what? You're going to keep repeating. God is going to keep giving you that test, one form or the other, until you pass it. And he will display his power through that situation. And then something else, something bigger will happen to you at some other point. Are you with me? Like I said on Sunday, through all the challenges he faced, Joseph learned management. Believe me, he couldn't learn to lead Egypt and run the entire, you know, food supply until he had gone through what he went through in prison and running the prison and running Potiphar's household. Are you with me? The same is true for us. And so you say, wait a second, you know, I've been in this place for so long, I don't seem to have made any progress. Guess what? It's time for you to pass the exam. It's time for you to buckle up and trust God. And when you pass that test, he will move you on. I promise you. Because he's got some bigger stuff in store for you. Are you with me? Look in Luke chapter 1. It's amazing when you read through the Bible. Every single person faced challenges. Luke chapter 1, we're introduced to the parents of John the Baptist. In verse 5, Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Watch this, verse 6. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. It tells us here that both of them were righteous in the sight of God. That's awesome, amen. You and I want to be righteous in the sight of God. The Bible tells us that they were observing all, not some, all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. I dare say these guys were very, very spiritual people. Okay? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, these guys were probably 9. Are you with me? But notice what it says in the next sentence. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. You know the story. God had predicted in the Old Testament that somebody was going to come in the spirit of the prophet Elijah to prepare the way for his son. Are you with me? And then God decides in his own wisdom to pick this couple. You know, he could have picked a fertile couple. I mean, think about all the descendants of Aaron, all the priests that he could have picked. But he chose this couple. And that's why this story is in the Bible. And again, this is the pattern you'll see throughout the scriptures. God never does things the way we think he's going to do them. If anything, he's going to do it in such a way as to display his power. So that when it's all said and done, you and I will be able to say, you know what, hey, this is what God did. Okay? You know the story, it continues. The angel shows up in verse 13. He says, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Not Moses. Not Steve. John. He says, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. That's what I'm talking about. You and I did not get the Holy Spirit until we repented and got baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. In verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." That tells me several things. Notice what the angel has said to him. He says, "Your prayer has been heard." That tells me he had stopped praying about this stuff, about he and Elizabeth being able to have their own child. That's what it denotes to me. That's what I gather from this, that he has stopped praying about it. Because, believe me, when the angel said, "You know, you're going to have a son and call him John," if that was me, I said, "Yes! I prayed about this again this morning. Thank you, God." That was not his response. If anything, he said, "How can I be sure of this? Now we're old people." And you know the story. From that day on, he couldn't speak for at least 9 months because she wasn't pregnant at that time. It was later on, the Bible tells us, you know, she became pregnant. And she stayed in seclusion for 5 months. And in verse 25, the Bible says, Elizabeth said, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Incredible. And here we are, 2,000 years later, we're still reading about this and talking about it. Okay? Are you with me? You see, again, God in his wisdom decided to pick this childless couple to be the parents of John the Baptist. See, because again, if he had picked just another couple that's fertile, that have had several kids, people are going to go, what's the big deal about that? But when you take a childless couple, when you take an old couple, okay, remember, I mean, imagine what this would be like today, in the day of social media, where everything is so instant. You know, where all of a sudden, you see this, we don't know how old she was. The Bible says she was old. You know, I'll just pick a number, okay? Let's just say she's 60 years old. Never had a child. All of a sudden, she's pregnant. I mean, that's going to get around very quickly. You are not going to believe this. A 70-year-old woman having a child? No. They're going to say, first of all, she's not 70. She's made up. They're making her look 70, but she's not 70. But she was old, the Bible says. But you see, that's how God displayed his power. Amen? What's my point? The fact that you're a Christian does not mean you won't have challenges. If anything, the fact that you're a Christian guarantees that you're going to have problems, that you and I are going to have trials, so that God can display his power. And that's why we got to accept it, and we got to get used to it. And we got to start complaining and whining. Amen? Every challenge that you see, everything that you go through, is an opportunity for God to display his power. Amen? Again, God never does what we think. I mean, think about it. If you had gone up to Zachariah and Elizabeth and said, you know what, by the way, you know, this child has been talked about in the book of Prophet Isaiah. That's going to be your son. They're probably say, "What have you been drinking?" They're not going to believe you. They had read the Old Testament. I'm sure they knew about this person that was coming. But I don't think the thought ever crossed their minds that that would be their son. All they wanted was a child. Are you with me? But you see, God does these kind of things so that his power might be displayed. Amen? God did not make a mistake. Guess what? He hasn't made one yet either. Everything I face, everything you go through, God did not make a mistake. It's not as if he forgot you. It's not as if, you know, he took his eyes off of you for a second, and all of a sudden this stuff happened. And it's like, oh, and he's scrambling, trying to set it right. No. He's a perfect God. Amen? He's never made a mistake. And he's not about to make one now. Everything that you and I are going through is there for a reason. But it's there so that his power might be displayed. Amen? One of the teenagers said to me, if God puts you through it, he will see you through it. I thought, man, that's so true. If God puts you through it, he will see you through it. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's go to another couple. Very similar situation. We're introduced to Elkanah, the father of the prophet Samuel, and his mother Hannah. The problem was, Elkanah had two wives. Okay? And I know that's very foreign to us in America, because, quote unquote, you know, polygamy is against the law. But it's very common in many places around the world. As a matter of fact, I got a phone call from somebody this week seeking advice about a guy that's presently studying the Bible who's got two wives. I'm like, what do we do? I said, we dealt with this stuff in Africa many, many years. Of course the guy can become a Christian. So yeah, look at me like, who? What? Yes. People who have two wives can become Christians. Now they can't divorce either of them. Now you can't go marry an extra one. Okay? But yes, they can become Christians. But anyway, that's a different story, whatever. So that's what we read in here. Now, don't come talk to me like you want to marry a second wife. That ain't happening. All right? I'm not going to perform that ceremony. One man, one wife. That's what God intended. So anyway. But this guy had two wives. And Peninnah, the other wife, who had kids, would torment the living daylight out of Hannah, the woman who couldn't have kids. And let's read that story very quickly. 1 Samuel, beginning verse 1. It says, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Anna, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Ophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Anna, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And get this, and the Lord had closed her womb. This wasn't something Satan did. God closed her womb, the Bible says. Okay? Because the Lord had closed Anna's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Anna, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? And, you know, the story goes on. I'm sure when this time of year came around, Anna was depressed because she knew what was coming. And the Bible tells us that year after year, this went on. We don't know how long, but it sounds to me at least more than 2 years. Okay? So she's been going through this torment for at least a few years. But this is the woman that God picked to be the mother of Samuel the prophet. He could have picked one of Peninnah's kids. God could have picked any fertile lady. But no, he picked this woman that had been through so much. Are you with me? God will use your challenges to glorify himself and to display his power. See, the problem is, are we going to allow God to display his power through us? That's always the issue. Are you going to melt and crumble through the trial, through the challenge? Or are you going to rise to the occasion? That people are going to go, whoa, man, God is something else. Look at what God did through this person's life, through this person's suffering. It's up to us. It's entirely up to us. Obviously, we know she gave birth to Samuel, and Eli prays for her that God would give her more kids, and she ends up having 5 more kids. 3 sons and 2 daughters, in addition to Samuel. So he ended up with 6. From 0 to 6, that's pretty good, ain't it? Because when God opens up your womb, guess what? It opens up. Amen? When God opens up something, nobody can shut it. That's the point. Amen? But God does things like this to display his power. He does it in your life. He does it in my life. But you see, we're so busy, distracted, and discouraged by the situation, we don't see God walking through it. And that's what I want us to see going forward. Amen? I mean, think about, so many examples in the Bible. Think about Abraham. Remember when God showed up in Genesis 12 and made him all those promises? Sarah couldn't have kids either. And on one occasion, he actually tells God, you know what? Hey, I'm childless, Lord. Eleazar from Damascus is going to inherit everything that God says, no, I want you to step outside. Which tells us that conversation probably happened at night. And God says, look up at the stars. Start counting. So will your descendants be. She was not even pregnant at the time. And here we are. Thousands of years later, we're reading about it. Are you with me? These men and women are no different from us. What they did was, they believed what God said about them. They believed God's promises about their situation. And as a result, God displayed his power. And you and I are reading about it. I often wonder that honestly, if the scriptures were being written today, would we make it into the book based on the way we handle the challenges and the trials God puts in our way? Would I make it into the book? Not that I want to make it in terms of people can read about my... No, that's not it. But do I have the faith in God? Such as, I got to tell you about this guy. Let me tell you what I put him through. And he graduated every single time. He allowed me to display my power in his life. And I'm going to write it down so that generations to come will be encouraged by the way he handled himself through this situation. You remember Isaac? He got married. Guess what? She also couldn't have kids. Now again, back then, that was a big deal. This was way before in vitro fertilization. Okay? This was way before test tube babies. Oh, I remember when they started practice about 35, 40 years ago. It was something else. There could be no dispute that, you know what, this was what God did. Are you with me? You remember when God brought them out from, what do you call it, from Egypt? There was a shorter route, you know, the Bible tells us. But he said, nah, I ain't going to take them through there. That's why I'm going to take them downward, and I'll make them camp by the sea. And then God changed Pharaoh's heart. He decides to go after them. So you imagine, here you are. You are camped by the sea. There's water in front of you. There are no boats. And here's Pharaoh charging with his army coming after you. And like clockwork, they start complaining. These are God's children. We got it in our DNA. I know where we get it. Was it because there were not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us into this desert to die? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? I didn't read that in the scriptures. What did God say? Say, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. These Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. And you know the rest of the story. See, every trial, every challenge, God is trying to display his power. Can you imagine if they just came and strolled to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, okay, what are we going to do now? And God says, okay, step back, watch this. Part the Red Sea, they walk through, and they get to the other side. How did you guys get here? Oh, you're not going to believe this. God parted the sea. People are going to say, right. But he did it in such a spectacular way that we're still reading about it thousands of years later. Amen? Historians have it. You know, Egyptians back then, you know, they had huge libraries. They would record everything. They didn't record this part. I wouldn't record it either. If you got your tail whipped, you're going to go write it down that year. Here's what this God of the Israelites did to us. Would you write that down? They didn't write it down. At least so far, they haven't found anything in their records to indicate that this happened. But God wiped out the entire army. Amen? Again, remember Joshua? When he parted the Jordan in Joshua chapter 3? The Bible tells us that the Jordan was at flood stage during harvest. That's when he parted it. Again, he could have done it low season, I don't know what you call it, low tide, where he can simply walk through. Flood stage. That's when God decided to part the thing. Are you with me? Do you see the pattern? Throughout the scriptures, that's what you and I find. Guess what? It's not going to be different for us. Life is not just going to be all smooth and no issues, no problems. There's a place for that. It's called heaven. And this ain't it. Amen? You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to persevere through all this to get to that point. And then we will truly see God's power displayed. It's going to be worth it. Look in James chapter 1. You see, in light of all this stuff, when you now read James chapter 1, it makes sense. This is one of those verses I've always struggled with in terms of, man, this does, I don't get this, man. I'm sorry, Lord. I ain't joyful in my trials, man. Please. I mean, I rejoice in the blessings. You're telling me to consider it pure joy when things are going tough? I don't get that one. James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, when you and I are going through stuff, amen, it's hard. Okay, let's face it. It's never easy. But you need to understand that, you know what? God is about to do something. God is about to display his power. God is about to show you. God is about to show me that he is God. That's the reason we can consider it pure joy. Because we know something awesome is going to come out of this. Because the Bible is true. God doesn't lie. Are you with me? There is a reason for what you're going through. God is working on you. And through your trials, He's building character in us. He's building perseverance. He's building toughness. You know, this, several days ago, ESPN, they have this best of the best, where, you know, they try and show a little clip. And there's a linebacker from South Carolina that his tape, I think it was a game of, they were playing against Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. The guy's name is Clowney, and he came off the line very quickly. His helmet came off, the guy's helmet came off, and tackled him, got the ball. He's been best of the best for weeks. And, you know, every week, you know, they try and show something to see if they could knock off, you know, that video. This week, they showed this 9-year-old kid, Jack Hoffman, battling cancer. And Nebraska, they were having their spring game, and they brought him onto the field. They put a helmet on him. He had his jersey on and everything. And right there on the field, towards the end of the game, they came up, you know, like, we got to let him, you know, have a play. So they bring this kid onto the field. And they give him the ball at the 69-yard line. And he runs to the left. He turns to the right. And, you know, the guys are blocking off the other guys on the team. And the kid is running, and he picks up speed. And he runs it all the way down for a touchdown, and they pick him up. I just started crying. I said, now, this is going to knock off Clowney. Right there. I knew it. And lo and behold, it's now the number one video. And I don't know anybody's going to knock him off. But I think the thing that's so inspiring about the story is that, you know, you look at a kid like that, 9 years old. I can't imagine what his parents have been through. And when we see situations like that, it helps us to realize that, you know what? Yes, you have situations. Yes, you have got problems. But it's not that bad. Because I wouldn't want to trade places with that young man's parents. I don't even know what I would do with myself. If one of my kids was diagnosed with cancer, I wouldn't even know where to start. And so I use that as an example to say, you know what, brothers and sisters, no matter what it is we're going through, other people are going through some serious challenges. And you ought to be grateful and thankful for the challenges that you have. Because God will display His power if you allow Him. Amen? Again, it was very sad on the news yesterday. I'm just in there listening to the news. All of a sudden, here's Gwinnett County on the news. Like, whoa, 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 what's going on? A gentleman in Suwannee who had some financial problems. I understand they were about to foreclose on his house. They had turned off, you know, all the utilities. He held four firemen hostage. He called 911, and when those guys showed up, he held them at gunpoint. He allowed one to go to move the truck out of the way. I was like, wait a second. I know exactly where that is. As I was watching the stuff last night. It was on national news. Because don't forget, it was just a few months ago that something similar happened to some firemen up in New York. And those guys were killed. Obviously, the SWAT team went in there. They killed the guy. And he got a shot off, wounded one of the soldiers, but I understand the guy's going to be fine. It was a tragic ending. But you see, the thing is, when we go through stuff, we got to make sure that we don't keep spiraling downward. And you know, what was going through my mind last night as I was listening to the news on television, I was like, man, the guy had nobody to talk to. Can you imagine? Yes, we go through stuff, but as Christians, we got each other. You know, all it takes is picking up the telephone. People can't read your mind. You can't read my mind either. If I don't tell you what's going on, you don't know. But there's nothing wrong in saying, you know what, hey, I'm going through this. I'm struggling with this, or I feel this way. Hey, I need some help. Amen. That's part of the solution. And then God, in His own time, will come through. Amen. Romans chapter 8. I'm almost done. This used to be my favorite scripture in scriptures in the Bible as a young Christian. In a lot of ways, it still is. In Romans 8, verse 28. He says, and we know that in all things, not in some, he says all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That is so encouraging. That in all things, the Bible says, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. He said, how can God walk through this? Oh yeah, you'll find out later on. You will. Amen? You just got to hang in there to see the result. You can't give up. You can't go backwards, because then you will not see the result. Are you with me? But if you stay faithful, if you trust God, in all things, God will work for your good. He will. He promises to. Amen? He promises to. In all things. You know, I've always thought about this. You know, we live in a fallen world. Obviously, you know, Satan was thrown out of heaven and he's been causing havoc ever since. And this world is messed up. It really is. And I also think one of the reasons we go through all this stuff is so that we will not get comfortable here. Think about it. If this was paradise, where you had everything you need, you realize how you and I would never see our need for God if we had everything. If everything all just walked out, you snapped your finger, bam, there it was. You don't need God. I believe part of the discomfort we feel is the fact that God doesn't want us to get comfortable here. And so we're always longing for a better country. We're always longing for something better. Are you with me? The Bible calls it hope. But we're yearning for a better place. We're yearning for a better situation. But the cool thing is, despite being here in this fallen world, in this messed up world, that's one of the ways God displays His power. It's in us and through us. Amen? A gentleman came up to me on Sunday. He's been smoking for 22 years. And he said, several weeks ago, I challenged him. I said, what's up? What's going on, man? You need to give up the smoking. You don't need that, you know, stick of nicotine. All you need is God. And he came up to me on Sunday. And I noticed immediately, you know, I wasn't smelling any smoke on his breath or on his clothing. He goes, hey, I just want to say hello. Man, I haven't smoked in several weeks. I said, just keep it up. That's God. He's been smoking for 22 years. And I know some of us, that was our situation. I mean, we smoked for years. And when you decided you were going to repent, you gave it up. You didn't go through some 12-step program. You weren't using, nicotine patch. I mean, you just said, Lord, I'm done with this thing, and it was over. That's God displaying His power. Amen? And so I say all this to say, you know what? There is nothing that you and I are facing that God cannot take care of. And God wants to display His power all the time, all day long, every day, through your life and through my life. Are you with me? And all we need to do is keep on trusting Him. Yes, the devil will keep coming and accusing us. and telling you you're wasting your time. I don't know about you. I love to tell the devil to get lost. Okay? When Satan shows up, I say, get out of here. And he always does. And he goes and finds somebody else to mess with. He ain't messing with me. I'm a child of the Almighty. You better get on my side. That's my attitude. You can't sit there and keep those negative thoughts in. You got to tell the devil to take a hike. And he will. He will go find somebody else to mess with. Amen? But you see, God wants to display his power in your life. God wants to display his power in my life. And all we need to do is continue to make sure that we make ourselves available so that he can do that. And then you get to turn around and tell a story about it. And then other people see how God has worked in your life and go, I guess there must be a God. Maybe I can try this God. Because I've tried my way, it hasn't worked. Maybe I can give God a try. And then he turns them around. And then he turns the next person around. That's what this is all about. Amen? And so I pray that, we'll, again, there's so many situations you can go compare this to. But I pray this will spoil you. Want to go study this out some more for yourself. Because guess what? He ain't through with you yet. He's not through with me yet. He wants to continue to display his power. Amen? On a little side note, this may be something small to you, but it's not to me. In a couple of weeks, I'm getting ready to go visit the church in Nairobi, Kenya. And I'm really looking forward to seeing them. And I noticed that my yellow fever vaccination has expired. You get a shot, it's good for 10 years. And so I just checked the thing. I was like, this thing is expired. And so I went to the health center, and they made an appointment. The lady said, $50 consultation, $134 for the vaccine. I said, what? And so I went back home. I said, I'm canceling that appointment first thing Monday morning. I looked up some other places, and so I said, wait a second, we got some doctors in the church. Let me call them. So I called Simon up. And Simon goes, bro, I got bad news for you. It is that expensive. I said, oh, that's even cheap, $134. And so I called around some other places. Some are going for $185. And I'm thinking, I can't believe this, man. For yellow fever vaccine. And so I read on the Kenyan embassy website that visitors from the United States do not need a yellow fever vaccine to enter Kenya. So I said, oh, this is great. So I called John. John leads the church over there. I said, by the way, bro, how much is the yellow fever vaccine again in Nairobi? He goes, he told me the amount in shillings. I said, how much is that in dollars? It comes out to about $20. I said, I will see you in a month. And so when I go over there, I'm going to get the shot. And I'll be good for another 10 years. Again, I shared, I said, you know what? God is good, man. There's a big difference between $100 and something dollars and $20. $20 I can handle. God bless.